Hello and welcome to another episode of Fool's Daily. I'm joined again by Conrad.
I am joined by Mike.
Oh, so who's joining who?
I don't know, but I think I'm going to have to get some stuff out to stop us being joined.
Oh, okay.
So I've got things to do.
No, you haven't.
I've got to go to the physio today, at least.
Oh, poor Conrad has hurt his back.
Again.
He didn't hurt his back doing, he wasn't skydiving. He wasn't bungee jumping. He was bending over to pick something up.
Yes, and that's a lesson to you all out there. Don't bend over to pick
No.
stuff up.
Yes. Don't bend over. So today, we are going to talk about starter boxes for games. We sort of talked about it when we were talking about Relic Knights. But it's sort of a topic in its own right. So we are hitting the topic today. I don't know what I'm talking about. What am I talking about?
Well, we're talking about game accessibility, essentially, aren't we? A lot of games have got a lot of stuff out there for them, whether it be figures or cards or start-up stuff that you need. And the concept of having a starter set, or even a two-player starter set, or X number of player starter set, to give players everything they need to get going in a game system, which also is a great thing for the game system and gives the game accessibility, and is a stepping stone into players potentially becoming supporters and enjoying those games. And then you're looking from a resale point of view, it's a feeder, isn't it?
Yeah.
And some games systems have these. And others don't, and we were kind of working, trying to work out why is that the case, and if there was something in the pipeline, we were specifically talking about Malifaux, for instance, what we would use for to put in the starter set. Privateer have got a two-player starter set. They've got one for Hordes and one for War Machine. When they came out, it was very much based on what plastics were available. So that kind of predetermined what went into the sets. But from what I hear, they are very good value for money. Not necessarily factions that you would want to
Okay,
pick
so
up.
what? All right, so in the privateer ones, what do you get?
Oh, I knew you'd ask. I think you get Kador and Menoth in the War Machine one.
Okay, so that's the big red armored ones,
Yeah.
and what are Menoth? Are Menoth the Burny ones?
Yeah, they're the Burny holy relic type stuff thingy jigs, that one.
Right, okay.
And I think in the Hordes one,
Yeah.
I think you get Circle and
So that's the Wood
Legion,
Elf
I
light
think.
ones. So the Wood Elf light ones with the stones things.
Yes.
And what was the other one? What was the other faction?
I think it's Legion, but I'm going to go and check now as
Oh,
well.
are they the undead ones?
No, they're the dragons and beasties and things
Oh,
like that.
okay.
They're sort of, I suppose, I mean, I've always equated them to sort of darky, elfy, drow type look because generally the paint schemes are purples and
Oh,
pale
okay.
skins. But they're the blighted elves essentially the Iron Kingdom. So yes, you get Circle, which is wood elfy, feral, beastie type stuff, and Legion of Everblight.
Okay, so what sort of, I mean, what do you get in what do you get in the box? I mean,
For the Horde stuff,
yeah.
you get a warlock.
Right, so your hero leader type.
Yeah, and I believe that's Lilith. You get four lesser war beasts. Now, Legion are quite unusual in that they have this concept of lesser war beasts, which are sort of tiny 30 mil beastie things.
Okay.
You get one big beastie, which is the Carnivian. And then you get some medium infantry, which is on 40 mil bases, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of those. And they are the Blighted Ogryn War Spear unit. But again, this was all down to the fact that, you know, this was what was in plastic at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But so that's 11, 12 figures?
Something like that.
And I assume the same for the other force.
9 figures. So you've got medium based infantry, 2 light war beasts, and a caster. Yeah, it's a similar sort of thing, and it retails for $100 essentially. I don't know what that is.
So 60 quid.
I think it's 60 or 70 quid. Let's have a look at Element, shall we?
Okay. Do you get a rule book in there?
I believe you get a mini rule book.
Okay. So obviously, Games Workshop do them as well for Warhammer and Warhammer 40,000. They both retail around the £60-65 mark. The Warhammer one is £61.50, and the 40k one is £65. You get, I think, in the Warhammer one, you've got 2 different armies. You've got currently got High Elves and Skaven, and I think you get 70 odd miniatures. And in the 40k one, you get the ubiquitous Space Marines and Chaos Space Marines at the moment. And again, I think there's 50 of those, 49. And you do get full rule books in there as well, I think, which is the one that people always seem to want when they're playing those games, because it's the little A5 paperback rule book rather than the huge weighty tome, because it is just the rules rather than the
hobby stuff as well.
The hobby bits, yeah.
And potentially fluff as well. You do get a small, they call it a travel size booklet rule book, dice and a ruler.
You get dice and templates in the Warhammer. So £60 seems to be the sensible price point. Now, of course, in the case of the Warhammer ones, whilst you can start playing the game with the forces that you get in there, you'll rapidly want to expand them because, you know, it's nowhere near the points levels that you want to play a regular game of 40k at or a regular game of Fantasy Battle at. I think the Skaven only come to something like 200 odd points. well, you know, they're cheap. What about the War Machine one? I mean, are they playable forces, or are you almost looking at, unless you're playing against another starter box, unless you're playing against your starter box opponent, are you looking at having to get other stuff?
For us, these things are designed to be played against each other, because Privateer Press had this concept of battle box starter sets from Mark One, anyway.
Right.
Where you get about 25-30 points worth of stuff. You get a caster and some beasts, generally, or jacks from the War Machine perspective. These take that a little bit further. They give you essentially the 3 elements of, or the 3 basic elements of the game, which are infantry, beasts, and the caster as well. So I'm not sure what the pointage is. It's probably about 30 or 40 points.
Okay.
So the game is designed to be played with equal points anyway. So that kind of is, you know, that happens anyway.
Right. Okay. Now, the interesting thing about these is that they're all 2 player boxes.
Yep.
Now, when we looked at Relic Knights the other day, we were talking about their starter boxes, and their starter boxes are much more akin to, I suppose, the battle box that you were talking about from Privateer, in that it's a single force, but it does have everything in there that you need to play a game. So if you bought 2 of those battle boxes, you've got everything that you need. You know, it's got the playmat, it's got the decks, it's got all the stat cards, it's got all the tokens that you need. They didn't have dice in, did they?
I don't think so. I don't think you need dice with the game, but who
is
knows?
Is the game just cards? I thought it was dice and cards.
I've not seen any dice at all in there at all.
Oh, so maybe it is just completely cards. It shows my lack of understanding of the rules yet of that game.
I haven't even read them yet.
But it's so it's slightly more expensive, kit. But you're getting slightly more because you're getting all, you know, you're getting some nice laser cut tokens and that sort of thing. But it's roughly comparable. I mean, you're talking £60 to £80 to get into the game. And there's a new Infinity set as well that is going down exactly the same route. The Battle for Ice Storm or whatever it's called.
Well, there's not only Infinity that does it. I mean, Drop Zone Commander recently bought out a two-player battle box set.
That's true, they did, yeah.
Battlefront brought out their starter set a good while ago. For Flames of War as well. So there are companies out there that are, you know, have taken this concept and are making it, you know, making their game more accessible, basically, you know.
I suppose effectively you're turning it into a big box game that you can that can get stocked in big box game toy shops.
Yep.
You can, you know, because Toys R Us will stock a big box starter game. They're not going to stock a whole load of different factions.
Smiths, all those sorts of places, won't there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I suppose that brings us back to our original question, which was, we were talking about Malifaux, which is obviously a game that we both play, and how it doesn't have a starter set, and that it makes the ability for new players to get into the game, I think, harder. Because I'm not really applying it to people of our age. I'm sort of casting my mind back to when I was 14, 15, and I was dodging dinosaurs.
That was last century, wasn't it?
It was last century.
That joke never gets old. All right, it does.
Well, it does, like you, it gets old. So I was casting my mind back, and, you know, that the big box game, and now Games Workshop didn't do a big box game until 4th edition of
Fantasy, wasn't it?
Fantasy,
yeah.
Which was late 80s, maybe beginning of the 90s.
What was that? Was that Lizard Men and something? And Brett's? Or was...
No, that was 5th. 4th edition was High Elves and Goblins.
Goblins, okay.
It was, I don't know if you remember, it had cardboard... For the big kits, yes. It had cardboard. You didn't get a high eagle, a high elf riding a big eagle. You got a piece of cardboard that slitted in a slot to represent, because their plastic technology wasn't good enough to do plastic eagles. And it was all those night goblin spearmen that, you know, you used to impale yourself. People used to impale themselves on, and you would see pictures of people with goblins stuck in their hands.
Or feet as well.
But there were other big box games that Games Workshop did that did get people into the hobby, and you would pick up the big... Blood Bowl is the prime example, I think.
That came with the
second edition Blood Bowl with the two plastic teams. It had the expanded polystyrene pitch. What did they call that? Astrogranite pitch.
Yep.
It had those bits so you could go, and so that it showed that people could get into it with that sort of game. And it surprises me that a game that is as growing in the way that Malifaux is growing doesn't have a starter set.
I think it would be a good thing to do to try and get some of the presents from parents or younger generation of players in, or just, you know, as a general opener into the game. I think that's a good thing. If you look at the Battlefront Flames of War set, they do everything from dice to forces to cardboard terrain, you know, to put stuff out. that's a really well thought out two player starter set. The Malifaux stuff, when you think about it, all you need is two crews, a couple of decks, and potentially tape measure, possibly some counters, which could be done on a cardboard type thing, or some sort of laminated plastic sheeting type thing. I don't know.
Yeah. So what would you do in a, I mean, you know, in a Malifaux starter set, what would you do? What would you have?
Well, we were talking about, would it be henchmen led, for instance, to try and cut down costs? But I think I agree with you that you might as well go for master level. So, and then you start thinking about, well, okay, who are the classic masters in Malifaux? And I think we both agreed on Justice.
Yeah, so Lady Justice, I think, would definitely be our choice of putting one in.
So the next iconic thing, I think, would be what was there in the world of Malifaux from the start, which would be the Neverborn, I think.
Yeah, you see, I'm not sure I agree with you on this, because...
Well, you're wrong.
If you talk,
that was Spooner coming out of me.
That's often true. I mean, if you look at iconic Malifaux characters, and you know, then the other one that you would naturally pick, I think, would be Seamus. The worry that I would have with picking Seamus is the background to Seamus, and specifically the bells. Dead hookers, and if you're trying to pull in that 14-year-old market that their parents are buying stuff for, I don't think that that's the best choice of figures to put in there.
No.
And you know, to have artwork splattered around the top of these zombie ladies of the night.
No, you've got to be yeah, but then. The game theme, a lot of the game theme is quite adult in nature anyway.
Well, it is, but I mean, but you could argue that 40K game theme is adult in nature if you read the fluff. I mean, you know, 10,000 people sacrificed a day to a dying corpse.
But then, you know, it's shooting and violent, and then we start going down the...
We end up being Australian video game censors at that point. So I don't know that I would do a Neverborn.
So then do you go down the Gremlin route?
You could do. It's always fun.
Mm-hmm.
If there was a Gremlin equivalent of Lady Justice, then you would definitely do it. But I actually think that you're better off playing to the other trope of Malifaux, which is the steampunk trope, and doing someone like Ramos in there. So you've got effectively you have a choppy master in there who's got some cowboy, you know, she's got some cowboys with her, that sort of thing. And then you've got a mechanical genius master who is producing like little robot spiders and things. And you're appealing to both the Wild West and the steampunk and all of those sort of mishmash things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you would aim to have, you know, 6 or 7 models aside in there, and a couple of fate decks. But I think where you would get really interesting is whether you could put cardboard terrain in there as well.
Yeah.
You know, just simple stand-up type stuff. Nothing complicated. But because Malifaux is a game that requires a lot of terrain, it would be nice if the starter set had it. And maybe you modify the rules slightly so it plays on a 2x2 board.
That's an option as well. I was actually just thinking that perhaps you have two starter sets, you know, so that there is choice, because there are so many factions in...
Maybe you
so,
do.
So many masters in Malifaux that I think it's hard to... just pick the two, as it were.
Yeah, maybe. But I think it's something. I think it's something that we'll probably talk about on Malifaux as well. But
no, absolutely, yeah. And what sort of price point are you looking at? Same sort of thing as the Hordes War Machine one, which is I think RRP 75 ish.
Yeah, I think you have to fall. I think you have to fall within that 60 to 80 slot. I mean, certainly when I look at Kickstarters these days, especially for new games. That's where a 2-force pledge has to fall within. You know, that was when Guild Ball was starting up, for example, on their Kickstarter. That was where a lot of the feedback went early on around their pledges, was to make sure that you could get two starter teams in that 60 to 80 price point. Because that's what people are prepared to pay for something that's unknown. And that they're just going to give a try to. And if they don't like it, then they can pass it on, you know, via the secondary market.
Yep.
But asking people to spend more than that. So once you sort of approach the £100 mark, then I think people start going, oh, do I really want to get involved in that?
Yeah, because there are these psychological... stops, as it were.
Yes.
It's the old, age-old 99.99 type thing, or 9.99 type thing. But yeah, I think you start going over the £100 mark, and then the alarm bells start ringing in terms of, oh, what happens if she finds out that I've spent that amount of money on toy soldiers?
Yes. I think so. Well, I think we're probably out of time.
So, starter sets, good thing, basically.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, basically, we like the idea of starter sets. And I think that if our friends at Gripping Beast wanted to really expand Saga, then doing a starter set, big box type game would be a good move.
Yeah, I mean, they already do starter...
They do starter war plans.
But they don't do the rules and things like that, yeah.
But there isn't a here's a box, get everything in it with plastic miniatures, you know, 4-point war bands, 5-point war bands, rulers and all of that stuff.
Yeah, that'd be good as well.
I could see that selling well and helping you get out of that historical subgenre into
a high street shop, essentially.
Effectively, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Or, and I suppose in these days, it's probably not the high street shop. It's probably onto Amazon, but...
No, that's true. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I have been Mike, not Conrad.
And I have been Conrad, not Mike.
So, until next time, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You can contact Fools Daily on Twitter, we're at Fools_Daily, or via email, foolsdaily@outlook.com.